Ever wonder why some leaders spark action while others fall flat? That actually be leadership or lack of it. Be the reason why your team is falling apart. Are you ready to face the truth and actually make a change? You mind if I share a short story with you? I remember my first 2 years, it's probably my second year in my project management career. I was managing critical projects with a tight deadline, a tight schedule. The scope could not be changed unless we had executive approval. This is how crucial this project was. We had an excellent team, talented, driven. But midway through, things started to veer off track. Tasks were missed. Misunderstanding multiplied, frustration, of course, began to creep in. I couldn't figure out for the life of me why this capable, extremely intelligent team that I was working with suddenly seemed lost. One evening, after yet another confusing meeting, I asked the team, what do you believe our main goal is right now? So I took the time after I asked the question and I went one by one. I think it was about 8 or 10 people in the room at that time. So I went to the first person. What do you believe our main goal right now is? Went to the second person. What do you believe our main goal right now? And I continue on down the line. And to my surprise, family, each person had a different answer. It wasn't a lack of effort. It was simply unclear communication. To make matters worse, the problem wasn't them. It was me. I hadn't communicated clear enough what success looked like, and that misunderstanding had a ripple effect across the entire team. From that day forward, I committed to crystal clear communication, simplifying objectives, confirming understanding, and aligning with everyone else toward the same goal. Immediately, we saw improvement. Clarity brought confidence. Confusion turned into collaboration. And guess what? Most of all, our project got back on track. See, that experience in my early career taught me a very, very invaluable lesson. That leadership isn't about telling people what to do. It's about clearly communicating the why and how behind every task. That's why developing clear communication skill is very essential. And today, as we unpack leadership, we're going to talk about communication. Let's get into today's content. Develop clear communication. See, as a project leader, you must communicate project goals, expectations, updates effectively to project team members, to stakeholders. What happens, as I shared with you in the story, or short story I shared with you when I first got started in my career, I was under the assumption that everyone knew what was going on. Don't judge me. I mean, hey, I was a new project manager. This is why I share these stories so you don't make the same mistakes. And it really wasn't a mistake. It was a valuable lesson that was learned by me. And what I understood is that if we have poor communication, this creates confusion. With confusion comes missed deadlines. With missed deadlines, we have impacts within the team because now conflicts start happening. And the less we're not being more transparent about what is actually happening and going on within the project, everyone is just lost and just running, you know, walking around. This is why I believe, no. This is why I know project management is an essential and very important career. And especially if you're a project manager, it's important to lead with clear communications. Here's my 3 actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment with. Schedule regular check-ins and status update. Let me park here parenthetically and what I mean by that. What I mean is when we're doing these regular check-ins, let's make sure it's actionable or make sure everyone, we're on the same page. Because what happens is if you don't ask a open-ended question, meaning if you ask a question, are you doing great today? And someone says, yes. Instead of asking, how are you doing today, forces them to give you a complete sentence, at least. That's what's important because sometimes your project team may be so busy that they're just trying to get through the meeting so they can get back to work. So we want to ensure that we're setting them up for success so we can set the team up for success. Number 2, summarize key points in written and follow-ups to avoid misinterpretation. This is one of the things where always talk about sending your meeting recap 24 hours later. Now, I know I may get pushback for that, and that's fine. But the reason why I do it is because I always believe that you're getting so many emails. What if I sent mine at the top of the morning, or if I sent it within, you know, basically the next business day? So now it rehashes the conversation that we had. And the last and final one is use varied communication channels, email, instant message, video calls to meet different team needs. One of the things I realized even about communication is somebody will send an email and they won't follow up on the email. And then when you ask them, hey, where we're at on this, they'll say, oh, I sent an email. You guys know, if you've been following me, I'm about to go into my rant. I'm going to do my best. But the whole point I'm trying to make is that reason why communication is so essential is because just sending an email is not good enough. We must follow up. And if we can't follow, if we follow up on the email, we don't get a response, pick up the phone and call. They're not asking the phone, use a chat feature, whether it's Teams or Slack, whatever that messaging, instant message system that you have. Because it's important, family. We are the leaders of this project. We can't let things fall by the wayside because we're nervous to follow up with something, with someone, and the task that they owe us based off of, well, I just don't want them to feel uncomfortable. Well, how do you know that they may have forgot about it? And this is what you're here for. This is what you're hired for, to ensure that you're staying in front of them and making sure that they're completing the thing that they made a commitment to completing. So don't feel some kind of way that you're following up with someone besides email, getting on Teams or picking up the phone and calling. I was notorious for that. Like, if I send you an email and it's an action item that we agreed upon in our meeting, or we had a conversation and we agreed on it, and you said this was the delivery date, I'm calling you to first, I'll send you an email just as a reminder to say, hey, this is going to be due the next day. And then the next day, if I don't receive anything by the close of business, I'm giving you a call. I'm not going to send another email. I'm going to give you a call, and then I'll probably send an email and I'll send you a team. So I want to eliminate any gaps or any miscommunication. I communicated by phone. I sent a follow-up email and I use the messaging, whether it's Teams or Asana or Slack, whatever that preference is. But you know that I really care about your success because your success impacts my success. And if we both are successful together, then you're going to want to work with me on more projects. Maintain a positive attitude. Listen, optimism is a resilience for a leader. Well, just imagine when you have a leader that is always encouraging, staying motivated, even when setbacks happen. See, let me park there again. This is one thing this is how I know what type of leadership that I'm either under or dealing with is when setbacks happen. See, when everything is great, everything is going well, you really can't really tell. But when you have that leader that steps into the storm right alongside you, shoulder to shoulder, so we're going to get this done. We will figure out a way. We're not going to focus on the problem. We're going to throw all of our energy in the solution. That's my type of leader. My type of leader with a positive attitude, how you're doing today, and genuinely care. Hey, I remember you were telling me about your wife. How is she doing? Those leaders, this is a positive attitude. I start getting excited. I'm sorry, family. This excites me because when you have a leader that has a positive or optimistic mindset, I feel sorry for whoever's going up against them. Now, I want to be clear. Just because I'm positive, that doesn't mean that I don't understand or know, like I'm putting it to the side, like, oh, that's, I don't have to see that. I don't have to pay attention. No. What I'm saying is it's happened. So now we're going to do something about it. A leader's attitude is so contagious, whether that's a positive or a negative. So having a positive attitude as you're leading projects and stepping into it and letting the team know, I'm there to support you. How can I help? And really, when they call on you to help them, generally show up. Because if you don't show up, you may not get that call again. Here's my three actionable tips. Share solutions, not just the problems in team meetings. If you've ever worked with me, if you've ever experienced just talking with me, I don't mind looking at the problem because I need to understand what the problem is. But after we get an understanding what the problem is, I don't want to spend any more time on the problem. Now I'm in solution mode. Solution mode is, okay, let's throw this at it. That doesn't work. Okay, let's look at this. We're constantly trying to find and eventually boil it down to a solution that will fit the problem. Number two, highlight recent success before diving into challenges. This is huge. Why is this huge? Because when you can remind somebody, oh, this is getting good to me. When you can remind somebody of where you've come from, meaning that, hey, you remember we've been here before, but it was a different project. And you remember how we persevered? You remember how we pushed through? That starts saying, yeah, we can do this. Exactly, we can do this. So now let's, again, focus on the solution and move forward. Number three, seek stress management techniques. One of my things is I started meditating. I've been trying and finally I stopped trying and started doing. So meditation, visualization, exercising, just really getting that mindset in a place so you can show up to be your best version of yourself. And I know life happens, life lives, as they say. However, that doesn't have to impede what you're trying to do for your team and support your team. Next one, balance authority and approachability. You know, this is always an interesting one for me because you are in an authoritative position, meaning that you are the project manager over this project and you're leading the team. However, don't be so just tight where no one feels comfortable coming to talk to you. Great leaders command respect while remaining accessible and supportive. You don't want it where somebody doesn't feel comfortable coming to talk to you because it's like, oh, I feel nervous because if I say the wrong thing, it's like, no. You have to be able to have a balance of yourself. I understand the hierarchy and everything like that, but some of the greatest leaders that I've worked with never looked at the hierarchy. They looked at, how can I help? How can I serve? How can we get this resolved? This is being keeping the authority, because I know their authority. I see the title, but they kept the approachability. You know, you always hear, hey, I have an open door policy. And some really mean that, hey, come on in. Hey, I'll get to that later. How are you doing today? Being approachable. And a lot of people, I should say, a lot of project managers are nervous because they feel like, well, if I'm approachable, I might lose my authority. That means you're so caught up on the authority that you're missing the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is being able to have authority, but still be approachable in a way where you're not too distant. So this is why it's important, because team might hesitate to share ideals, issues, or even concerns. So if you're too informal, the authority needed will for decisive action may be lost. Here's my three actionable tips I love you to experiment with. Maintain professional boundaries. Show genuine care for the team members. Number two, invite suggestions and feedback without fear of judgment. We as leaders have to work on that. When people give us feedback or suggestions, that we don't throw it away so fast without hearing them out totally, or even experimenting with some of their suggestions and feedback. It doesn't hurt to experiment if it's not going to impact the project in a way where we're going to lose time, cost, you know, it's going to impact scope of quality. Why not? Let's experiment with it. Number three, communicate final decisions clearly and explain the rationale. You know, one of the things one of my mentors said to me is, and I may talk about that later, but I'll just do it in here now. He said when a decision was made from one of his direct reports, it was more about the decision-making process than it was about the actual decision. Okay, you probably don't get where I'm going with it. Let me unpack it for you. So what he wanted to know was, how did you get to that particular decision, which was your process, versus you just made a decision? Well, I just made the decision because it just sounded right at the time. So he can understand where he can coach you at if the decision was, you know, far off to the right or left. And it made a lot of sense. And I started thinking in that same manner of when someone makes a mistake or made a poor decision, I want to know what was their process of getting to that particular decision. So being able to communicate final decisions clearly and explain the rationale is huge. This is why if I make a decision on a project, I'm going to explain my reasoning and my process of getting there. So the team understands if anyone ever came up to them and said, well, why did you guys decide to go with this SaaS product versus another SaaS product? Well, based on, you know, our feasibility study, based on this, we made the decision to go this direction. All right, next one. Manage conflict proactively. Conflict is inevitable, meaning in any team setting, Addressing it quickly and fairly prevents escalation and foster healthier working relationships. One of the things I always talk about conflict is will happen on a project. If you haven't experienced conflict on a project, you will. Especially my new project managers out there. And what you want to do is get to the root. A lot of times we do a lot of surface conflict cleaning. What is surface conflict cleaning? This is something I just made up. Well, what it is more or less is that we're not addressing the root cause. The root cause of the actual issue was going on. We do surface level cleanup. We're not going to be able to have a greater impact. So doing root conflict, challenging your team of understanding why is this conflict happening? And it's more or less about when conflict happens, how are we going to get in front of this, address it as fast as possible, and make sure that we have proper escalations in place. If this goes further than a project manager or a project team can actually manage. Here's my actionable tips. Facilitate open dialogue in a neutral setting. Practice empathy by acknowledging all sides of the argument, and then seek a win-win solution that balances project needs with individual concerns. I'll also say this, family, as you're experimenting with those three actionable tips. When you experience a conflict on your project, and like I stated, you will, if there's two people going back and forth, you want to be able to say, hey, can we take this offline? And you want to meet with those individuals individually and then bring them together. Why do we want to do that? Is because first, I want to get both sides of the story of where this is coming, because it just didn't happen. Like they just didn't all of a sudden start, you know, having this disagreement. There may have been an email sent or something. You never know. It's been weirder things that I've seen when it comes to this thing called project management. And you're like, man, we could have been got this solved. However, now we're here. So now we have to resolve it. So again, you know, getting the, if it's two people going at each other and having a disagreement, basically a conflict, we want to get those separate just to understand what is the root of the actual issue. And then we want to look proactively to actually solve it. Next point, manage stakeholder expectations. Hey, listen, stakeholders, clients, executives, end users often have different types of evolving expectations. How do you like that one? See, when you align them, it ensures that everyone's needs are met. Now, I will be clear and be honest with you. You might not be able to meet everyone's needs. However, we will do the best that we can. And this is important because misaligned stakeholder expectation can affect the triple constraints, as we know, scope, cost, time, and quality. So with that being the case, we want to make sure we have a great, or I should say, a final deliverable output that if seen from the team, meaning project team, as well as the stakeholders that, hey, this was a project well done. Here's my actionable tips I would love for you to experiment. Host regular stakeholder review meetings to track alignment. Document, if you ever paid attention to me, the motto here is documentation beats what? Documentation is always going to be conversation, meaning that we're going to document what we just had a conversation about so we can confirm we're still aligned or if there's any changes that happen. Next point, anticipate common concerns and address them proactively in communication. Next point, invest in relationship building. I don't know why project managers don't do this. And if I'm saying why project managers, this may not be directed at you, project manager. It may be another project manager that's sitting next to you. But what I'm trying to mean is personal rapport among team members leads to better collaboration and fosters a sense of belonging. This is important because strong interpersonal relationships can help navigate tough challenges, also reduce interpersonal tension, and build long-term loyalty. Here's my three actionable tips I would love for you to experiment. Number one, allocate time for team-building activities or social gatherings. Number two, encourage open dialogue about non-work-related interests to humanize each other. Hey, how's the family doing? Hey, I heard your kid is in, you know, playing soccer. How's that going on? You getting up early on Saturdays? I know you was good. That type of energy. And remember the people's family that you're communicating with, name. Because that also leaves an impression on them. And the last one, provide mentorship or buddy programs to promote peer support. Next one, continuously improve your leadership style. Leadership is not static, meaning you can't just say, Well, I led this project this way. I'm going to lead it the next project the same way. No. You're going to be constantly evolving. You may be more hands-on on, let's say, project A, but project B, you're not hands-on, meaning that you're more handling more of a lot of the admin, getting blockers out the way, versus in on the other project, you are just, you're in everything. And that tends to happen. So by being adaptable is what's going to make you become a great leader, because static leadership approaches can become outdated. So you must adapt your learning, or I should say your leadership style, to what's relevant, what's motivating, and what's effective. Because how people lead me, that may not work for somebody, because I like someone that tells me, as my grandma would say, like a TIE is, just tell it to me straight. Just be upfront with me. Let me know what it is. And someone else, they may be offended because it's like, you're being too direct. Do you soften, So again, you have to this is why it's important, like we were talking about at the other point about the invest in a relationship building, because when you invest in relationship building, this is how you learn and understand how people like to, when you have to give directives. So here's my three actionable tips. Seek mentorship or leadership coach for ongoing development. Attend workshops or conferences on the latest project management methodologies, and then solicit feedback from your team on your leadership approach. That's something I've had to do countless times, because I want to know, hey, guys, is there something I can do better in leading you guys more effectively? Well, we would love to, if you can just store all the meeting minutes in one central, repository, and then give us a readout at the end of the month of everything. Heck, no problem. Anything else? Because again, if you really practice in serving leadership, that means you're serving your team as well as the stakeholders. Let's move on to the next one. Delegate wisely and empower others. If you stuck around this long, I'm going to tell you, I know as a project manager, I'll just speak about minutes. Probably about 5 years ago, I was able to let this go, but I used to be somebody that always needed to be in control. Yep. My name is Edward, and I'm somebody that loved to be in control. Don't judge me, but I'm just saying, because I didn't want anything to get missed. I wanted to make sure that everything was right and perfect, and that nobody, and I realized I wasn't helping the team. I wasn't serving the team effectively. So having effective delegation frees you up to focus on high level tasks while also developing your team skills, and most of all, their confidence. This is important, because leaders who hoard tasks stunt team growth, they create bottlenecks, they become overworked, where proper delegation fosters trust, autonomy, and skill building. If we're really in the business to really empower people, or I love what John Maxwell talks about, inspiring people, then why would we want to not delegate? We would want to delegate so we can show them, hey, we trust it. But I always live by the model of, I'll delegate, but I'll verify. So here's my three actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment with. Match tasks to individual strength and development goal. Clearly define the scope and success criteria for each delegated task. Provide the necessary resources and authority for them to actually succeed. Practice active listening. Whew. Active listening is a crucial leadership skill that demonstrates respect and builds trust by giving your full attention, asking clarifying questions, and reflecting back of what you heard. You can build a stronger connection with your team. What does that actually look like? Well, if someone is talking to me, then I am not trying to cut them off by speaking over them or not giving them an opportunity to finish what they were talking to me about. And I know there are some people out there that, like myself, I had to learn how to be more concise with certain people that I speak with. And I didn't have any problem with it, but I was just like, man, I don't want them to miss this. But this is how they receive the information. And just as well, if I'm listening to someone practicing active listening, I shouldn't be thinking of a response right away. I should really be giving my full attention. That means putting my phone down, giving full eye contact, and we're virtual listening to understand what they're trying to communicate. Because if I don't do that, what will end up happening is that I will lose the opportunity to build a mutual understanding. I will lose the opportunity to have really good, valuable communication. And most of all, when you do this, you're showing respect to the person that's speaking. So here's my three actionable tips I love for you to go experiment with. Ask open-ended questions rather than leading or closed questions. We talked about that briefly. Instead of getting a yes or no, trying to get more of a full sentence, put aside distractions during conversations. So this is huge. I learned this is very important because now it helps me understand that, number one, that I was listening. Number two, if I miscommunicated something in summarizing these main points to confirm my understanding, they can correct me and say, no, what I meant by it was this. And then the last one, again, ask open-ended questions to encourage dialogue. Lead by example. This is probably one of my favorite next to communication. And that is just demonstrating the behavior you want to see in your team, such as being on time, accountability, doing what you said you were going to do. Now, there's been times, you know, as a leader, you will fall short. But if you're more consistent than you're inconsistent, you definitely earn my respect. Why is this important? Your team looks to you for cues or acceptable behavior. So leading by example, not only do you set the tone, you set the standard, which allows you to foster the respect. Here's my three actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment with. Show consistency in your own work ethic, address mistakes openly, and demonstrate how you correct them, and remain calm under pressure so you can model resilience. Build trust with your team. Trust is the bedrock of a cohesive team. When team members trust you and each other, they are more willing to collaborate, share ideas, and take risks. Trust is really the foundation. So if we don't have trust, we're not going to have a very successful project. Trust me. Anytime I've been on a project where there was a lack of trust within the project team or even the project manager, I could tell you which two areas of the triple constraint they're going to be impacted the most. It's going to be either cost or time. Scope sometimes, but it's mostly time and cost. So high trust environments foster open communication, psychological safety, commitment, and accelerating project success. This matters because of the fact when team members trust you and each other, they're more willing to collaborate, share ideas, and take risks that drive innovation and project success. Here's my three actionable tips. Demonstrate reliability by keeping promises and meeting deadlines. Encourage open dialogue and actively listen to concerns. Recognize and reward honesty, even when bad news is shared. Here's my final thoughts, friend. I appreciate the opportunity that you've given me today. Effective leadership requires action. Here's three core principles, some of my favorite, what I kind of talked about. Develop clear communication, ensure your message resonates. Clarity builds trust and unites your team. Listen actively, ask questions, and provide concise direction. Maintain that positive outlook. Listen, your outlook sets the tone for the team. So view setbacks as growth opportunity, as well as having the ability to be resilient. And when you're resilient against the ups and downs and the twists and turns of projects, that is going to be reflective in your team as well. And manage conflicts proactively, address issues, and being more empathetic and actually finding a solution and not, you know, and like I talked about, surface solution versus a root solution. We want to get to the root of what the problem is and then provide a solution to it. Here's my call to action for you today. Assess your communication. Where can you be clearer or more inclusive? Number two, reframe your current challenge as an opportunity for growth. And the last and final one, address team tensions properly to turn obstacles into breakthroughs. I go by the name of ED. For you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.